Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, quick thank you before we get started to our sponsor of this episode, Austin Jarrow, Duluth's original running store. That's the place to get your running shoes. Great advice from all the people that work up there. Check out their website, austin-jarrow.com. They are also on Facebook and Instagram. Drive on up to their location on Central Entrance, just on the other side of where the Home Depot is, but on the other side of the road. Or give them a call, 218-722-1185. Thanks so much to Austin Jarrow.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Mike for getting us rolling here today. Mike, should we get started?
Yeah, let's give it a shot here. Should we jump right into race results? And
yeah, let's do that.
Talk about what we got on the docket here. From the last just about a month, we have a ton of races. So pretty cool to see lots of runners out there and lots of finishing times. Getting right into the YMCA Sidewalk Shuffle, 286 finishers down on the Lake Walk, which is that Wednesday at noon race. So pretty impressive to see those types of numbers. This was on July 12th. The winner was Andrew Papke-Larsen out of Duluth with a 16:36. And then on the ladies' side, our most recent podcast interview subject, Chelsea Youngberg, won the 5K with a time of 17:44. So nice work there. I suppose I could shout out the team results too. Roger for Duluth wins it. So another recent podcast interview.
That's right.
Interview
last
subject.
Two.
Yep. Roger's team took the win there. So nice work, Roger for Duluth. Next, we have the historic Park Point 5-miler. That was on the 13th, the very next day. 530 finishers across the finish line down on Park Point. Daniel Dougherty, St. Paul, Minnesota, won with a 24:19, smoking fast time. And then on the female side, Marit Ross Sonnison from Minneapolis won the race with a 30 minutes and 6 seconds. So always fast times down on Park Point. Next.
I was just going to mention Dan Dougherty. His time was really, really close to the course records that Steve Hoag set.
Oh, wow.
In the early 80s. I don't know the exact date on that, but that course records has stood for a long, long time, and
yeah.
Dougherty came very, very close to
wow.
breaking that. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of fast times, so I'm sure Daniel is getting pushed by some other people in the mix. And, yeah, fun to see such a competitive race. A lot of people from the metro coming up. So.
Yep.
Next, the very next day, on July 15th, we had the Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon. David Grapentine from Midvale, Utah, won the race in 3:17:16. Only till recently, previous Voyager course record holder Benjamin Cogger came in second, 3:19:39. So pretty tight up front there. And then Rachel Ragona from Eau Claire won the women's race with a 4:03:15. Yeah,
nice.
4:03:00. So really competitive race there as well. 301 finishers for the Eugene Curnow Trail Marathon. Very next day after that, Buzz Ryan Sprint Triathlon. That was on July 16th. Andrew Manning won the race out of Fargo, North Dakota, 45 minutes, 20 seconds. And then Elaine Nelson, who we've shouted her name out many, many times, she won the race on the women's side, 57:23. 97 finishers for the Buzz Ryan Sprint Triathlon. Chief France Red Run 5K, Trevor Warzynski won the race. He's 24 years old out of Superior, Wisconsin, 20 minutes, 3 seconds. And then LC Juten, 13 years old, won the race, 22 minutes and 5 seconds. 127 finishers for that one. And then Carlton Days, the next race we have, that's out in Carlton, Minnesota, but typically we have some of the area runners, you know, competing. Jackson Lindquist won the race 15:43 by over 2 minutes, so nice work crushing it, Jackson. And then Emily Olisiak from Sawyer, 16 years old, won the race 19:27, so 105 finishers in the Carlton Days 5K. The very next day is, of course, the Minnesota Voyager Ultra Marathon 50-miler, 199 finishers this year. A course record was set by Justin Stewart out of Springfield, Illinois, 6 hours, 38 minutes, 34 seconds. Very impressive. Jill Wojta from Onalaska, Wisconsin, won the women's race, ninth overall, 8:14:40. So a little bit different course. This is word on the street, like the final Voyager course, that they're hoping to get it like right at 50 miles and just kind of stick to it. And
yeah, not have to make any changes, barring natural disasters.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I think a lot faster course than the old course. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Essentially 3 miles of rugged trail were replaced by smooth running, you know, the paved trail.
Yeah.
So either way, the 6:38, that's about 50 minutes, 48 minutes faster than second place. Mm. And just amazing effort by Justin Stewart.
Yeah.
Getting into August.
Did you have the female winner for?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you said that, for Voyager.
Jill, that was Jill from Onalaska.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Wojta.
Yep.
Yep. Ninth overall, so. Getting into August here, we had the Kristen Burkholder 5K. Just this weekend as we record, Kieran Johnson from South Range, Wisconsin, 21-year-old, won the race 17:11. And then on the ladies' side, Aisley Mathias, 13 years old from Duluth, won 22:49. We're seeing a lot of really young gals taking the wins this month, so pretty cool to see. 127 finishers out in Esco, Minnesota. And then just today, we already have results from the Brewhouse Triathlon. Brenton Button from Nipigon, Ontario, won the long course, or the Olympic course, in 1 hour, 51, and 19 minutes. And then Elaine Nelson won the women's race as well, 2:12:17. 96 finishers in the long course. In the sprint, David Rubush, 107:01. And then Bettina Keppers, 108:26, 157 finishers in the short course this year.
Nice.
So. And that wraps it up. A lot of races there. So nice job, everyone, getting out and toeing the line. We do have a couple upcoming races, but, you know, this season, a little dip before we get into the kind of fall season. Check out the Brimson Sisu 4K. That is in Brimson, Minnesota, north of town. That is Saturday, August 19th. And registration is still open online, and you can just show up day of and sign up as well. On Saturday, August 26th, you can sign up for the Lost Forester Trail Run. There's a lot of different distances, a lot of kind of cool events with that particular event in Cloquet. And then also the NMTC Fall Trail Series starts off within the month. So on Wednesday, August 30th, is the first race in the series, and that's at Lester Park.
Nice. What's the distance on that Lester Park one? Is that the 10K? Geez.
I believe that's the 10K. Yeah. Oh, I do have it up. Yeah, that's a 10.5K, actually. So
10.5K.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Moving on, Tony, we have trail conditions. You been on the trails at all lately?
I've been in Hartley a little bit. I was there last week. Trail conditions are pretty good. You know, right, as it always happens in July and August, you know, tends to get overgrown a little bit, and dusty.
Yeah.
Too, as often happens in July and August as well, as they get super dusty. But other than that, they're completely runnable, rideable, zero problems anywhere.
Yeah.
Other than maybe some bees. I've been stung multiple times this summer.
Oh, man.
Always in the same spot.
What?
Yeah, that big, that main bridge there on Root Canal.
Huh.
That crosses the creek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been stung there multiple times now.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's no fun.
Ouch.
Makes you mad. It hurts, but it just kind of makes you mad at that, at that very specific view.
Yeah.
For a little while. But other than that, it's pretty good. One thing that I've noticed with trails is when we have this dry weather and the trails get really, really hard, I know our thought always is, well, trail is softer on the joints or, you know, but are they? You know, when that gets when the ground gets so hard like it is right now because there's been no moisture.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure they are. I'm sure that trails are softer than roads.
Yeah.
But is it that significant, I guess, is what I always wonder, like, especially this time of the year?
Not on Ely's Peak.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's just like the rock, bedrock.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's not the roads, so it must be soft. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I've always been curious about that. I'm sure that if you did measurements and...
Yeah.
That yes, they would measure softer. I'm using little air quotes, softer than the roads, and therefore better or whatever to run on. But I think sometimes it gets a little overplayed that the trails are softer than roads and save your needs and all that.
I think it is softer, but I mean, what real impact does that play when it comes to like saving your joints or something like that?
Let's just say if you're comparing one run to another, I would say it's minimal. Now, if you're doing all of your training on one and all of your training on the other, you would notice a difference, especially if you're running 60, 80, 100 mile weeks.
Okay, absolutely.
You know, get on the trails and stay off the roads all for 100% of your runs if you're doing that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But, just one Tuesday versus one Wednesday, and I don't think it really matters that much.
Yeah. I think variation is key no matter how you break it up.
Right.
Also, like, what if you're running on the roads and you have Vibram Five Fingers versus, you know, a Hoka or big old clotter?
That's another thought that I have, because shoes are so... Some of these ideas that people have thrown around with running are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old, and they're compared... Kind of forget, well, what were the shoes like that people were running in 30, 40, 50 years ago versus the shoes now? That makes a big difference, because I would argue that with the shoe technology now, you can probably run on the roads more than what people you would say 30 years ago,
right?
Because the shoes are softer and cushier and quote unquote better,
right?
At absorbing shock, So, anyway,
I got out twice this past week on the Superior Hiking Trail north of town. I went off of the French River trailhead.
At that parking lot up there?
At the parking lot, which is just off Jean Maluth Road all the way out. So, you know, fairly close to town. That was very overgrown. Very overgrown.
Yeah.
A lot of deer flies as well. So, I mean, pretty challenging conditions, honestly. I
forgot about the deer flies.
Yeah. And then this weekend I went near Gooseberry and ended up at Split Rock, so kind of a longer stretch. And I figured that there would be a lot more foot traffic and hopefully a little bit wider corridor.
Right.
But there were certainly sections that were very overgrown. It's just that time of the year, you know, where it's almost impossible to keep up with the volunteer man hour.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah.
But, hey, it's still really fun when you to get out when you can, but I would expect overgrown trails unless you're running kind of like in town, you know?
Yeah. And when I say these things myself, I don't mean to be critical of the trail volunteers or anything like that. It's just how it is. Stuff grows super fast, and it's just nobody could keep up with all of it.
Same with my lawn and my garden.
Yeah.
You know, same deal. Yeah. I was like, I just was in here picking weeds. Like, what happened?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. When you were up the shore on the trails, did you get stung? Did you get any bees up there?
No.
No?
Nope.
Nice.
Nope. And not in Hartley. I was in Hartley today. No stingers.
If you're by yourself, it's rare to get stung. I've been in there with other people where they've been ahead of me.
Right. They kick them up.
And then if you're the one that, and that's what it's always happened. So
yeah.
And generally, if I'm by myself, I don't get stung. And generally I'm running by myself. It just hasn't been the case this year.
Sure. Next we have Coach's Corner. What do you got on the docket for us this month?
So right now I was kind of just thinking that I don't really have like coaching advice or ideas or anything along those lines, other than to say with my own personal running, my motivation, and I think we've been talking about this now for a couple of months at least, but my motivation for running and training and focused kind of effort has been lacking. I just haven't. I don't know. This has been a pretty prolonged period of this. I hope, if anything, me saying this can be at least some comfort to people at times if they kind of go through that too. Because, you know, here I am as a person who's kind of essentially dedicated my life to the sport of running and just love everything about it, whether it's training or reading about it or talking about it or coaching or training theories or anything. The history of it, following the modern day runners. I love everything about it. And here right now, I'm just like, meh, I just don't really feel like training that much. Mm-hmm. It will come back. And if anything, if I can use this as a coach's corner just to say, if you're feeling that same way too, or if you have felt that way, just, you know that it will come back.
Yeah.
You know, you're not alone with a lack of motivation. It doesn't say anything poorly about you or anything like that. It's just, that's how life goes sometimes.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, being a lifelong runner. And, if for me, even, you know, getting into now, I sometimes reflect like, geez, I've been running for 15 years. It seems wrong, but I do the math. It's like 15 years.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting is that, and maybe I would think that you and I can relate, and I'm sure lots of others can relate, like when you know what it takes to get some of the, like the times or the efforts or the achievements that, you know, we've experienced. And then we think where we're at now and like, oh, I've been kind of sloughing off now for years.
Yeah.
And what would it take to get back to that point? It's like insurmountable, like too much. It was way too much. It's way too hard. Right. So I don't know. Do you feel like some of that is going on, or?
I don't feel like it's insurmountable, but I feel like I know the time frame to get to where I would like to be, what that's going to be like in terms of, you know, months, 2 to 3 months kind of consistent training.
Dedication.
Before I feel like I'm in shape.
Yeah.
You know, it's like training to start training.
Right.
And I think about that, what that's like on the daily basis. I'm like, oh man, it's a bummer to kind of have to start all over again. And that's essentially what I've had to do.
Yeah.
When I'm starting new with other sports or other endeavors, like when I got into the gravel biking scene, that was really fun. And now that I'm kind of getting into golfing a little bit more, that's been really fun. We're starting from basically zero to see growth and development. And then running, I'm starting at zero, but my growth and development is going to be so minimal compared to what I've already been through as a runner.
Yeah.
It's hard to have that same motivation. In Zen Buddhism, they talk about beginner's mind, and how important beginner's mind is. And I'm trying to embrace that beginner's mind a little bit with my running, but it's been far more difficult because I've just been focused on other things, and my beginner's mind is on those other things and not running right now. Yeah.
Well, the good part is that it's okay, right? It doesn't matter.
Totally.
I mean,
yeah.
If you want to go run or put together a training program or not run, like, it's all for fun anyways, right?
Exactly. Honestly, I'll say I don't necessarily feel like my life is suffering or anything like that. I'm not less happy because I'm not running like I was. I'm still plenty happy and content.
Yeah.
So there's that. Like you say, in that regard, I would say, it probably doesn't matter as much because I don't necessarily feel like I'm missing out or something is lacking.
Right.
Yeah.
You say like the lack of motivation is the issue, but maybe there's a much higher heightened motivation for like golf or some of these other things, right?
Right.
It's not like your whole life has a lack of motivation. It's just
correct
for running at the present moment.
It's
right?
Just my improvement brain is focused on something else, I
right,
guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Anyway, so I'm sure other people out there are feeling that, or I know that other people have felt that.
Yeah. I have.
Yeah.
100 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last week.
Hopefully it's comforting to somebody to know that they're it's not unique and they're not alone in that.
Yeah.
And we all go through it.
It is. Yeah. Next segment we have is thoughts on the run. So I've been running a lot of trails lately, and something that you told me about, Tony, a long, long time ago, I think it was in relation to shoes, but I don't remember. Maybe you can refresh my memory, but it's proprioception.
Yes.
Can you tell us what that's all about? Because you explained it to me many, many years ago.
Yeah, that was a big buzzword in the minimal shoe world.
Yeah.
So that's probably when we were talking about it. It was probably then, because they were kind of using that as a selling point for the minimal shoes, so that your body would have that good sense and tangible sense of the ground and that awareness. The Vibram, definitely the barefoot style for sure, but even just pure minimalism, that was a talk. So proprioception basically is the ability to know where your body is in space, particularly you know, your hands and feet. We use proprioception when we type and we don't look at the keyboard, or when you're driving a car. You wouldn't be able to drive a car without, because you have to stare at your feet or your hands all the time. You wouldn't be able to look at the steering wheel. So we're using proprioception in those regards, and it definitely comes into play where I think you can talk about this in trail running.
Yeah.
For sure. More so than road running or track running.
I would say so. Yeah. But I mean, in all, you know.
In
I
all
mean,
of it, it does. Because you don't have to look at your feet when you're...
I've fallen down running on a road.
True. True.
But what I think is so fun, and I sometimes I just get into this zone when I'm trail running, where I like acknowledge the proprioception of like... I can kind of like preview the next segment or section of trail like 20 feet ahead of me and then kind of look down at my feet and not look ahead, and my feet just magically land in all the right spots. What the heck? How? You know? And I think it's that, like, I think that's proprioception, but also it's like this like memory thing of where you like your quick access memory, you like memorize the rocks and the roots and the undulations and the turns, and then you're somehow that connects to what your feet are doing. And I think it's just so fun to, it's almost like a test or something where you can like, how accurately can I like remember the trail if I like look up and try to scan it just in like a split second, and then like kind of look back down or look way forward or just look elsewhere.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy how accurate that your feet are just based on this like split second like snapshot or memory of where the trail is. So
just you just look 10, 20 feet in front of you, predict where your left foot's going to go, and then your right, and then your left and your right. And then when you get to that point, you just do it.
You just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's so cool too is then once you sort of navigated that little section of rocks and roots, that almost just stays with you. And then the next time you get back to that point the next day, you remember that exact same path through there.
Sequence or whatever.
Yeah.
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 Just maybe don't try it like with the cliffside on the one side.
Correct.
Know,
or
But I think it's fun. And like, you know, I want to implore our listeners to like try this, to like, it's almost like, well, you've been doing it your whole life. Right. But when you acknowledge, you're like, think about, I don't know what the term is for that, like when you know what's happening, like you're like conscious of the brain process, it makes it really fun for me to say like snapshot in time, like left right, left right, left right. And
That is fun. And when a trail gets crazy technical, that becomes a little more difficult. You need just the right amount. Hartley's like I think the perfect trail system for that, because it's just a little technical, but it's not like it's not like the SHT and crazy sections where it's kind of slowing down and you're just trying not to fall. You're still running and you can really open up and run, but at the same time you're still paying attention. It's like the right perfect level for that kind of experience.
It's like Jarrow's Beach, it's like I'm using proprioception, but I'm literally stopped, like, okay, I'm gonna now move my right foot to this jagged rock,
right?
And then I stop.
There's so much focus that it takes away from the performance. If the trail's right, it's like a perfect balance of focus and performance.
I think it's so fun to just look ahead just a little bit and plan out
like
subconsciously. Really cool concept.
I agree, that is fun.
Next segment that we have here is Root of the Week. So for this Root of the Month,
yeah,
Root of the Day. I've been liking Spirit Mountain a ton. I think it's just such a convenient spot to go park your car on the Superior Hiking Trail from both directions. Mm-hmm. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Really fun. So you can go southbound or northbound, like as an out and back. Mm-hmm. And then there's just a huge network of mountain bike trails, and then like even the ski hill type trails, like the catwalks and things. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you could do endless loops around Spirit Mountain, and it's just convenient. I like the Grand Avenue Chalet. Mm-hmm. Just park at the bottom, and there's even like the food, the cafe diner.
Yep.
You know, get a drink after or something like that. Mm-hmm. Big, nice, easy parking lot. A lot of people always there. So I've loved planning out routes around the Spirit Mountain area.
Yeah, lately. I'm with you on that. In fact, we're going to bring my group out on Saturday for a long run on DWP and Skyline.
Because
we haven't been out there for a little while, and that's just a wonderful route.
Yeah.
And that's not even, you know, single track trail. That's just
right.
You know, a one lane gravel road essentially, and then an actual gravel road.
Yeah.
Or gravel slash pavement. But yeah, that's a great route. But then, like you say, yeah, you can hop on this SHT or wherever any of the trails, and you go across Beck's Road, and you just keep on going. There's some great stuff.
Yeah, and they're even developing the other side. I think it would be the other side with the Munger Trail.
Okay.
So I would think soon you can kind of just hop onto the opposite side of Grand Avenue and get on the Munger Trail as well for total, you know, paved.
Nice.
But trail wise, I think it's just such a cool area, like both southbound and northbound on the Superior Hiking Trail. I've been loving it.
I do miss being in like the kind of shape where you can kind of go out and every weekend and just go 20 miles and explore trails, especially out that way where you can get a lot of trails, but you're still staying kind of in town, I guess, to some without having to drive all the way to the shore, you know?
Right.
You don't have to drive very far, and then but you can start running really far.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's fun. Kind of staying on this theme of trail running, I got a gear review.
Okay.
I just picked up two new pairs of trail shoes because I just needed it. It was that time, you know, I'm stocking up. So I got my old standby, the Brooks Cascadia, which I'm really excited for. This was a sale model, I believe the 14. I think it's even three models back.
Okay.
I also picked up one shoe that I haven't run in for quite a long time. I really liked it back then. Mm-hmm. I tried it out today, and I really liked it. It's the Nike Wild Horse.
Yeah.
And it just feels good. Yeah, it looks different. Like, on the shelf, it looked different than all the other kind of trail shoes out there. And on my feet, it looks weird, like a basketball shoe kind of. I don't know. It's like kind of a high top, not really. It looks goofy, but it just feels amazing. So I'm really excited to rack some miles on the Nike Wild Horse.
Nice. Yeah, I had a pair of early Wild Horse, like maybe the second year, first or second year, and that was a good shoe, good kind of road to trail option, but a little bit more trail in terms of the lugs were pretty luggy.
Definitely.
But it felt fine on the roads, but that was a really nice shoe. I did like that a lot.
Yeah. This one feels beefy, but also the upper is pretty flexible and like fabric-y kind of. But then the heel especially is like bulbous. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt great.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Especially on the downhills, it did feel great. And I kind of like leaned into it. Like I noticed the big heel when I was like looking at it. It's in my hand, you know, like this heel is weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then on a downhill, I'm like, I got that big heel. Like, it was in the back of my mind. And I was just like digging in. But it felt good.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So, nice.
Yeah. Pretty fast. I'm excited about that one. I guess next, our final segment is the shout out segment. I know you had a shout out.
Yeah, I had a quick shout out to he just graduated high school. His name is Tyler Stark, but he's a kid that I've known for a little while and have tried to help out a little bit with some of his running.
Yeah.
He just ran his first marathon, Grand Island Marathon over in Michigan.
Yeah.
Finished fourth overall, ran a 3:14. So shout out to Tyler. If that's a really nice performance for first ever marathon.
Nice. That's what Tyler. First marathon out of high school.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Just graduated high school in May. And
wow.
Yeah.
Putting on miles.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
Definitely. Cool. Well, should we get on to our interview portion here, Tony?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.